Welcome to Luma Digest. I'm Noura. It's Saturday the 18th of April, and this morning's edition is all about what happens when the hype cycle ends and the margin cycle begins. Right, so let's start with the big one. OpenAI just shut down Sora, the video generation project that everyone was talking about 6 months ago, gone, along with it. Kevin Weil and Bill Peebles have left the company, and the entire science team has been folded into other divisions. Now, this isn't a collapse story, this is a pivot story. OpenAI is consolidating around enterprise AI applications, the moonshot projects, the consumer demos, the stuff that looked amazing on Twitter but didn't have a clear path to revenue. They're cutting those. And here's the thing, this isn't just OpenAI, this is the pattern across the industry right now. The companies that survive this phase are the ones solving real problems for paying customers, not the ones building impressive demos. The takeaway? If you're building on someone else's consumer AI product, you're building on someone else's priorities. And those priorities are shifting fast, worth thinking about for your own setup. Okay, so this next one is going to sound boring until you realize what it actually means. AWS announced granular cost attribution for Amazon Bedrock, which is their managed AI service, and what they've done is make it so you can track exactly which IAM principal is calling which model and how much they're spending. Now, if you're managing one team, that doesn't sound significant. But if you're managing 50 teams all using Claude or Nova, suddenly you know exactly who's burning tokens on what. The system supports tags for aggregation by team, project, cost center, whatever you need. And this matters because companies have historically treated AI inference costs as a black box. You just get a bill at the end of the month and hope it's not too bad. Now they can actually see and control where the money goes. Amazon is also pushing Nova multimodal embeddings for video search. The reference implementations they've released show how to segment video semantically, generate separate embeddings for visual and audio signals, and route queries intelligently based on intent. The early benchmarks are showing 40 percentage point improvements over baseline approaches. The big picture here? Infrastructure companies are getting smarter about giving businesses the tools to actually manage their AI spend. Because if you can't measure it, you can't optimize it, and if you can't optimize it, you're just guessing. Ask yourself, would your business survive if your AI inference costs doubled tomorrow? Because if you don't know where the money's going, you can't answer that question. Right, let me tell you about Cursor. Cursor is an AI-native code editor, and it's reportedly in talks to raise $2 billion at a $50 billion valuation, led by a 16Z and Thrive. Now, that's a big number. But what's interesting isn't the valuation, it's what Cursor actually does that makes developers choose it over VS Code. Cursor has Claude and GPT-4 built into the editor itself. No context switching. No copying code between windows, you're working in one place. And the AI is right there with you, and it's becoming the muscle memory tool for a generation of developers who've never known an IDE without an AI assistant. The enterprise adoption is what's driving the valuation. Companies are migrating entire teams to Claude-powered development workflows, and Cursor is the tool that makes that feel natural. Here's what I keep coming back to. The tools that win aren't the ones with the most features, they're the ones that become invisible. The ones that feel like they've always been part of your workflow. Cursor is getting close to that. Full disclosure, I've been thinking about this all morning because the speed at which a tool can go from interesting to indispensable is wild right now. And if you're building development tools, that's the bar, not features. Indispensability. Completely different corner of the tech world now, but stay with me. Researchers at University College London just published something in Science Advances that made me stop and reread it twice. They used quantum computing to inform AI models for fluid dynamics, turbulence forecasting, specifically, and they achieved better long-term predictions with 95% less memory. Now, fluid dynamics is one of those problems that's computationally brutal. Predicting how air or water moves over time requires massive amounts of memory because you're tracking billions of interactions, and the further out you try to predict, the worse it gets. What the UCL team did was use quantum computing to pre-process the data in a way that lets the AI model focus on the patterns that actually matter. And the result is a model that's more accurate and uses a fraction of the memory. The interesting bit here isn't just the turbulence forecasting, it's the pattern. Quantum computing isn't replacing AI. It's making AI more efficient by handling the parts that classical computers struggle with. This is early days. But it's a glimpse of what happens when these technologies stop competing and start complementing each other. Think about that for a second. The narrative has been quantum versus classical, AI versus traditional computing. But the real breakthroughs are happening at the intersections. Okay, I need to talk about Chrome OS for a minute, because there's a piece that came out this week arguing that Chrome OS is actually the operating system built for the AI era. And honestly, I wasn't expecting to agree with that. But the argument is solid. Chrome OS has a read-only verified file system, which means the core system can't be tampered with. It runs everything in containers. And it's fundamentally designed to be cloud-native, not legacy-compatible. Now, Google is working on Aluminium OS, which is the next evolution, and it includes kernel-level AI integration, which means AI features aren't bolted on top of the operating system, they're part of the foundation. The takeaway? Security and flexibility used to be a trade-off. Chrome OS is built on the assumption that they're the same thing, and if you're building cloud-native applications, that architecture makes a lot more sense than trying to retrofit AI capabilities onto Windows or Mac OS. This is worth keeping an eye on, because the operating system wars aren't over, they're just happening at a different layer now. Right. Last one. There's a complete N8N workflow that converts product photos into professional marketing videos, fully automated, uses Runway ML and OpenRouter, and it produces a 10-second clip for 25 cents and delivers the result via email in under 15 minutes. Now, that doesn't sound significant. But think about what that replaces. A designer, stock footage, editing time, revisions. You're talking hours of work and hundreds of dollars. This workflow does it for a quarter. And here's the thing. This isn't some massive enterprise solution. This is a workflow you can set up yourself in an afternoon. The tools are accessible. The cost is negligible. And the output is good enough for most use cases. The barrier just dropped. Again, what would you do differently if video production was free? Because it basically is now. The constraint isn't the tools anymore, it's knowing what to make. So, stepping back from all of that, here's what I keep coming back to. The era of building for demos is ending. The era of building for margin is beginning. OpenAI is cutting consumer moonshots. AWS is giving businesses cost visibility. Developers are adopting tools that make AI feel native, not bolted on. And the barriers to production quality content are disappearing. If there's one thread running through everything today, it's this. The companies that win are the ones solving real problems for paying customers, not the ones with the most impressive demos. Something to think about this weekend. That's it for now. Thanks for listening. Links in the show notes.